ABC Radio Australia.
Geographically, Malekula is Vanuatu's second largest island and is roughly 2,000 square kilometres. But like the rest of Vanuatu, it has a dense linguistic landscape. More than 30 indigenous languages are spoken on Malekula alone, despite being home to just 25,000 people. So there are some languages which are spoken by just a few hundred people. But experts worry that indigenous languages around the world are declining at a rapid rate. So on Malekula, at least, they're working with local communities to preserve theirs, as reporter Talia Olatia found out.
Ting ting salve vembegora vembegora werengro minterwom wala vemburiswele.
That's Rachel Navath from Espargals Bay in Malekula, Vanuatu, telling a traditional story of the Ten Sons in the language of Espargals Bay, Teperav. Rachel is just one of the Malekula locals who's involved in a project documenting the linguistically rich landscape on the island, which University of Waikato's researcher Dr. Julie Barbour has made her life's work.
We don't actually know precisely how many different languages there are because there's still a lot of research left to do. And we're aware that some of the languages have become moribund and even extinct in the last couple of decades. But we know that there are at least 30 languages, and of those 30, about 24 are being actively transmitted to new generations of children as speakers.
Linguistic-wise, given how close it is to Aotearoa New Zealand, is it similar to, you know, the Te Reo Māori that people in New Zealand speak, or is it closer to Bizlama, maybe even French, or is it kind of like a combination of all of those and then more?
Okay, so it has no relationship to French. None of the languages of Malekula Island do. But it is genetically related to Te Reo Māori because all of the languages of Malekula are oceanic and Māori is also an oceanic language. So yes, there's a relationship there. Bizlama is kind of a complicated language because structurally it has a lot of similarities with the local or indigenous languages of Vanuatu, but a lot of its vocabulary is drawn from the English language, and there's also a bit of vocabulary from French in there as well.
Right now, you're listening to a recording collected from Larixil Moti from Sarmet Plantation, singing in Niewe language about the time a ship came to Crab Bay and took local people to Santo Island to work. Although Larixil passed away some years ago, Dr. Julie Barbour and her team are able to use her recordings to document and understand the Niewe language, as well as other Indigenous languages on the island.
What we are basically doing back here when we can't get to the island is we're processing sound recordings of speakers using their language to tell stories, to talk about what they're doing in their lives, to talk about their cultural knowledge, if that's appropriate to share. And we transcribe it sound by sound, usually with a speaker, because it's really hard to do without someone who actually speaks the language. And we put together a translation, and then we begin our technical linguistic analysis of the grammars of the languages.
You mentioned the word appropriate there, and obviously when it comes to research and language, there's always a concern that it could be happening through a colonial lens. So how do you ensure that the Indigenous voices are heard, even with their own voices, when it comes to kind of recording these languages?
Yes, so that's a difficult question to tease apart because we've got the techniques we use to collect data, and that's something which can be influenced by the researcher very heavily. And then we've got the techniques that we use to analyse the languages. And there's no way that we can separate ourselves and the languages that we speak from the analysis that we produce. There's always going to be, in my case, there'll be a lens of English. But we kind of compensate for that by trying very much to look at each language as its own system and to try and understand how the system works internally without drawing too much of a comparison with English, because comparisons with English don't work when you're talking about oceanic languages. They're completely different systems. When I think about the process of creating a corpus of audio recordings for a language, this is something that we work through quite carefully with our communities. And I suppose it helps if you're a female researcher, because we have comparatively lower kind of authority when dealing with communities. And it means that they're not going to be feeling pressured to share information. So what we end up hearing from people are things that they are comfortable sharing with a female outsider. The male researchers have to work around that a little bit and try to make sure they're not coercing anyone to share any information. But actually, the speakers themselves have a really good sense of what is culturally privileged, and we're careful not to ask for any information around cultural knowledge which we suspect could head into the area of being taboo or forbidden for outsiders to know anything about. But a lot of our work actually increasingly has been focused on recording stories that you might tell to children and people just talking about their everyday lives. So in that sense, we're able to kind of avoid heading into taboo areas where there might be strong cultural reasons for not telling an outsider that information.
Soriana ingang, ranisra, nindaisan rimamaisaru bilambirra, birra no stitindr.
As you can hear from this recording from Lina Penias from Limap Village, the languages across Malekula are very complex, which linguistically excites Dr. Barbo as she goes about her work.
Each of them has their own sound system, and there are some really interesting differences in the sounds that are used in different languages. And the trills of the Malekula languages are quite regionally famous. So they have a trilled R sound, which is a bit like the Spanish R sound. But they also have a trill which is made with the lips, which sounds like R. And those sorts of sounds are really distinctive. And for a linguist, really interesting, because they don't appear in many different parts of the world. But more than that, they use structural systems which are different to English, and those differences make them really interesting to linguists and quite exciting to delve into from an analytic perspective. And all of us who are involved with language documentation and language analysis really enjoy kind of teasing apart the structures and trying to understand how people express the same types of meanings that we express in English, but through these different structural patterns.
And it's obvious why documenting and understanding these languages is exciting for the researchers involved, but Dr. Barbour says locals also see it as a worthwhile project.
Speakers have really strong feelings about needing to preserve their languages. So they're aware that their languages are under pressure because the education system on Malekula is the formal education system is predominantly delivered in English, and then there are parts of the island where it's delivered in French. So their children are growing up learning to read and write in a global language, but they're also in schools which are multilingual because the island is so multilingual. And once you get people on Malekula together in a multilingual context, they use Bislama to communicate with each other because that's the most efficient way of communicating, which means that the indigenous languages of the villages are kind of being pushed out of a number of the new domains of life that are important to people on Malekula. So yes, there are people within the village context who are very aware of the pressures on their languages, and they want us to, but more than record, they want us to be producing resources that they can use with their children. And the other aspect is that languages are a really core part of people's identity, And in Malekula, where your identity might be the space of a single village or a couple of villages and the land surrounding that, your language is how you know where you're from, because the next valley over, it's a different language. You go across the river, it's a different language. And so for each person on Malekula, the language that they speak is the core of their sort of social identity. And of course, you've got that long 3,000-year history of settlement of the island that they're bringing through in their languages. So the most important thing is to ensure that transmission to new generation of speakers continues. And the most important place where that happens is inside homes. So this is not something that I can do a lot about sitting in my office in Aotearoa, New Zealand, apart from just hope it's continuing to go ahead over there. But I think that supporting communities in whatever way we can to resource the education of their children in their Indigenous language, that's really the key to this.
That was University of Waikato researcher Dr. Julie Barber, ending that report from Talia Olatia with grabs from Malekula locals used with permission.